Today's episode was brought to you by the Harper Home Team, a realty team covering San Diego, Orange County, and Riverside County since 2000. A family business born and raised right here in San Diego with over 1,400 homes represented. And guess what? They're Padres fans. I know this because they're the team I personally use for all my buying and selling of all the homes that I have. I have so many homes. And we've talked a lot about Fernando Tatis Jr., maybe too much. More on that a little later in the show. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, call the Harper Home Team now. 760-456-5846. That's 760-456-5846. Or just go to harperhometeam.com. You have the internet. You can do this. harperhometeam.com. You get a free consultation to build your home buying roadmap. Do it.
Boys of San Diego is the region's most popular public affairs podcast. Every week I get together with my co-hosts Andrew Keats and Sarah Libby to break down the week's news. And I think if you like keeping up with Nick, Dallas, and Travis on local sports, getting Padres updates, stadium development news, you'd like our show too. It's Voice of San Diego. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Hey. Hey, everybody. Hey. Hi. How's it going? Welcome to the very first episode of Padres canon. This is history. We're making our own Padres canonical history right now in this episode, and you're a part of it. You're welcome. I know you're very happy. Now, what is the Padres canon? Well, I'm going to explain it. I explained it several times throughout the episode because some of you just, you don't really. The Padres canon isn't the Hall of Fame. It's not who the Hall of Fame is within the Padres organization. We know who that is. And some of those names will probably end up in an episode of the Padres canon, and that's fine. You know, those are shoo-ins. We get it. But Padres canon isn't the Hall of Fame. It's just the gigantic book of Padres history. If there was an Encyclopedia Britannica of the Padres, would this person, broadcaster, executive, player, coach, would that person belong in that giant Padres history book? Would they get their own paragraph, their own sentence? Would their name just be there and possibly a footnote? Any of those things count, and you, as a member of Padres Twitter, will be the deciding factor. We will plead our cases, yes or no, they belong or they don't belong. We'll place our votes here on the podcast, but ultimately it's going to be up to you if you think that person belongs in the Padres canon. And this first episode's a doozy. I don't even want to talk anymore because we have a controversial pick to start Padres canon off with a controversial guest who's been banned from Twitter. He has his own list of problems. And I couldn't be more excited. So without further ado, we're going to dive right in to the very first episode of Padres Canon. Enjoy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today's very special guest, legend of Padres Twitter. Some say the forefather of Padres Twitter in some way. Originally Padres Jagoff, but now sits atop the throne as H.J. Preller. HJ, welcome to the show. Thank you for doing it. How are you?
Great. You know, it's been a couple years since I've spoken with you. Nothing's happened in the world since then. So
absolutely.
It's like we never left.
I know. It's like we were back at the Lake Elsinore Storm and our daughters were saying hi to each other. And literally the world has stayed exactly the same since.
Yep. Nothing's changed.
Nothing to talk about.
Especially in the world of Padres. It's just the same also.
Same also. Finishing in third, fourth. Not much hope. Yeah, it feels about right.
Yeah, hopeless.
Let's start there, man. Like, I'm sure you have noticed this more than anybody. Most of us. This last season, obviously, was a lot of fun as a Padres fan because the team was actually finally fun and competitive to watch for an entire season. But the interaction was just out of this world the entire time. Like, I felt like Padres Twitter was nonstop the entire season.
Yeah. Well, it's the Padres did everything we ever asked for. Like, yeah. a lot of times I hear people being like, well, I wonder what HJ and Marver are going to find wrong with this. And like, what's there to find wrong? Like, we spent years advocating for stuff and the team finally stopped dragging their feet and did it. Like, this is this is the end. So this is what we wanted. So it's great.
It's exciting. I know there was a moment there before the last season where us at the Kept Faith were like, hey, we kind of made a career out of being negative, and now we can't.
But it was never about being negative. It was about asking for more, demanding more, right? Because the team would do the bare minimum to drag us along and get us to spend the bare minimum amount of, or however much money they wanted us to spend. And they're not doing that anymore. Like that's what we wanted. Yeah, we wanted to not be taken for granted as fans.
Yeah, I think it was just about being negative for us. But
Travis.
Travis. Well, speaking of being negative, you have brought to the attention to the delegates of the Padres canon someone who at times is extremely negative on Twitter. Awkwardly so, I would say. One-time Padre, or actually not one-time Padre, two-time Padre, Mr. Kurt Bevacqua.
Kurt Bevacqua is crazy. He's a little crazy, but I mean, it's kind of like the discussion with the Hall of Fame on Curt Schilling, like on whether how much of the crazy you let influence the discussion of him as a player, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, sure.
In my opinion, Kurt Bevacqua, based on his playing time, his work in media, like for the Padres, for the radio station, but I mean, even just isolated to his time on the field, is a quintessential Padre.
Okay. Well, we will get to a little bit more specifics in a second, but as you know, obviously, you know, this is the first time you're hearing this, HJ, for inclusion into the Padres canon, this is not a Hall of Fame. We know who the Hall of Fame is. There's statues Petco Park. I mean,
we nominated Kurt Bevacqua here.
Exactly.
We know it's not the Hall of Fame.
Not a Hall of Fame, but we are here at the Kept Faith and at the Padres canon. We are saying who belongs to be in the annals of the history of the Padres. When one opens the giant history book of the San Diego Padres, what name should be included there on one of the pages? And this, we have brought Kurt Bevacqua to one of the pages, the annals of the Padres book. Now, let me go back a little bit. Give a little background on Kurt Bevacqua. He was originally drafted by the New York Mets in 1966. And then again by the Atlanta Braves in the 1967 draft. He didn't sign with either team, went to go play in college. And he bounced around a little bit. He was a utility player, played in the Reds farm system, played for the Indians. He's had a long career in a lot of different cities. He earned the nickname very early on as Dirty Kurt for having the dirtiest uniform on the team. Now, you live in Poway, right? And I think Dirty Kurt stands for something else in the city limits of Poway, right?
Oh, I definitely don't live in East County.
Oh, you know. Sorry, this is a debate we shouldn't have got into. I apologize. But yeah, if you're in Poway and you hear the phrase Dirty Kurt, it's time to get out of Poway immediately. You're going to get hurt. He played for the Portland Beavers in the Pacific Coast League and then was traded to the Kansas City Royals at the end of the 1972 season. So he has bounced around to a lot of different teams, Royals, Brewers, Mariners, Rangers, Padres twice. And then he retired in 1986. Kurt Bevacqua has also had some time as a broadcaster. He's done a lot of charity over the years, St. Madeline's Sophie Center, to benefit the programs with adults with developmental disabilities. And he also, this is a big one, was featured on an episode of Fox's King of the Hill. He was brought in as a ringer to defeat the Strickland Propane's softball team. So Kurt Bevacqua, that's a quick rundown of the man, the myth, the legend. He's played all over the place. You have decided he belongs in the Padres canon. Please give me your argument.
Okay, let's preface this by saying that Kurt Bevacqua was generally a terrible baseball player. Deadspin ranked him in their 100 worst baseball players. I think they had him as the 69th worst player in baseball history.
65, yeah, you get that. Right,
it's a sex word. Baseball Fever, I think by WAR, showed that he is the 83rd worst player in baseball history. That showing, I think it's a negative 3.8 WAR over his career. I know I'm losing you.
No. I was about to say it's according to Baseball Reference, it's 3.9. So,
yeah. Fangraphs, he's only negative 2.8. So he's not a good player by any analytical measure. No. But in the case of Bavakwa, he was able to parlay, I don't know, maybe one full season worth of plate appearances over the course of five seasons into basically longtime Padre fixture on the radio, media, commentating, employed by the Padres doing Padre social hour on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of one of the things that Padres fans love, are like these mediocre, he might be the first of the group, the one followed by guys like Chris DiNorfia, Eric Owens, guys that the fans latch onto who weren't necessarily good at baseball.
Hey, DiNorfia had a couple of good seasons.
Sure, yeah. And I'll talk about him, but Bavakwa had moments that are legendary in Padres history, despite overall being not good on the field.
Sure.
But just the idea of being a totally mediocre to bad player, yet turning that into basically like well-remembered legend, almost legendary status among fans, I think is a quintessential Padres thing, right?
Like that is true. I think in San Diego, you could say Kurt Bavakwa and a lot of people would know who you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. You would know. I mean, I think 20 years, and I think beyond just like hardcore Padres fans, like I think he crossed over into, I don't know, local celebrity. I mean, he still did tough turtle turf commercials like last year. Like he's a bankable name. Someone said that he's a bankable name in 2019.
Well, when you're talking about turtles, tough turf, was that it?
I think of the ad. I don't know if you remember the ad, but I think he flings a bag of dog poop onto someone's lawn or onto their turf or something. He's, you know, those are legendary roles.
So it's just a career metaphor is what he did for that turtle's tough turf.
Yeah, exactly.
For people who don't know, he played for the San Diego Padres in 1979, 1980. Then he went to Pittsburgh for 2 years, came back, sent to Pittsburgh halfway through 80, and then came back to the Padres to finish it out from 82 to 85. Along those years with the Padres, he only had one season where he played in over, let's see if I'm getting this right, over 90 games. That would be in 1979. He played 114 games. Other than that, yeah, he was pretty much a role player.
You hit on one other thing that's quintessentially Padres, is the entire bring him home movement for players that were not that great, but that fans have familiarity with, that demand to bring them home. I kind of think players that have two separate stints with the team is also a quintessential Padres factor.
Yeah, it is one of those things where he left, and then either he or the Padres decided, bring him back. Why not? Another mustache in the dugout.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they brought back Ed Whitson, too. Yeah, exactly. The mustache.
Exactly. Now, statistically, as you've mentioned, I mean, there is absolutely no reason to include him in the Padres canon. So that can't be the basis for which we're voting for him to be in or out. Or I'm sorry, out would be the vote if we're looking at statistics.
Well, let me talk about the World Series, though. His general statistics were terrible, but yes. The 1984 World Series, Bavakwa did play a critical role in the Padres, in fact, to today, the only World Series victory. Kurt Bavakwa was the star, the quintessential moment of the World Series for the entire team. I mean,
the Chad Curtis, if you will, of the 1984 series, sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Padres were down 3-1 in game two of the World Series. Bavakwa led off with what did he do? Oh, he hit a 3-run home run to put the team up 5-3. They were down 3-1. Yeah, he hit the 3-run home run to put them up. I mean, that's a legendary moment. Everyone talks about Steve Garvey's home run. It wasn't in the World Series. I mean, Bavakwa did home run. His home run was exponentially more important to team history.
So what you're saying is that his number 7 should be up at Petco above the scoreboard.
I'm not going to disagree with it, but I want to make it clear that you suggested that.
I'm going to get everybody together. We're going to go back number 7 instead of back the Brown. It worked for the Brown it'll work for number seven. In that year, by the way, 1984, just looking at his stats, played in 59 games. He hit one home run during the regular season that entire year. So he hit two home runs, it sounds like, one in the regular season, one when it counted in the World Series. That is a big moment. I mean, that is a gigantic moment, a historical moment in the San Diego Padres history.
Well, and beyond that, I mean, the team only hit three home runs in that entire World Series, the five games of the 84 World Series. Bavacqua had two of the three, which is amazing considering in his entire Padres career, he hit seven home runs over 5 years, nine counting the World Series. So two of his nine home runs were in that 84 World Series. Like that's, I mean, we still somewhat revere like Jim Leyritz, right? From 1998 for his home runs that got the team to the World Series.
Sure. I mean, he had a weird exit where he badmouthed Gwynn, which kind of hurt his reputation. But yeah, there's still some fond memories of Jim Leyritz.
Right. And I kind of think Bavak was like that without badmouthing the team. In fact, he focused most of his ire on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lasorda, who he called, quote, a fat little Italian, which I think the fans really ate up in 1984 non-politically correct era San Diego, right?
Yeah. No. He and Lasorda definitely had their feuds, if you will, going back and forth. There's some, if you want to find some of it, I don't know if we should be cursing on this podcast. I guess not would be, I don't know. Who knows? but there's some very, very colorful language that you can find about Bavacqua and Lasorda's feud, if you will. But yeah, fat little Italian. And I mean, rest in peace, Tommy Lasorda. Let's get that out of the way, right? R.I.P.
Is this the Dodger loving podcast or the...
It's disrespectful. You don't want to just make fun of a dead guy. Probably because he ate a lot of Italian food, but that, hey, who doesn't? Who doesn't love the Olive Garden? But yeah, fat little Italian. I'll also say, unless you were going to point it out, that he played another pretty integral role in the history of the game. But the 1984 fight with the Braves.
He went into the stands, right?
He went into the stands. He was the one player to go into the stand. A fan threw a beer at him, and he was the one to go into the stands and had to be restrained by security guards.
Right. I mean, actually, the other player we mentioned as a bring him home guy, Ed Whitson. It was Ed Whitson and Bavacqua who were like had the biggest role in the actual fighting.
Yeah, probably his biggest role on the team, really, was that the fight in 84. He had quite an 84. He went into the stands. He had a home run in the World Series. So those are two big moments. I mean, listen, those are pretty gigantic moments where if I'm reading the history book, 1984 World Series is going to be mentioned in there for the Padres. And you're going to have to read about the heroes as well. And that is definitely one of the heroes, Kurt Bavacqua. Is there any other thing that you can think of that would guide your decision to vote yes on Kurt Bavacqua being in the Padres canon?
I give him credit too for his lasting role in the media covering the Padres. Like he did post game, I think, for quite a while on the radio. He's done like official Padres radio stuff. Mm-hmm. He also had the Padres social hour on Saturday nights until Wayne Partello fired him for it.
Fired him for it?
I don't know the whole story, but I know that something untoward happened that Bavak was not pleased with, that he promised he would tell me someday on Twitter, but he's kind of lapsed into talking about the election being stolen. So, other than that.
It was stolen, HJ. I mean, that's just clear. The evidence is clear.
The courts have been very clear on that.
Very, very clear. The party of law and order. Sorry.
I don't know if that falls within the definition of the canon, but to me, I kind of think just being around the team, that enduring status as a Padre or local celebrity, like I kind of think that plays into his position in the Padres canon as well.
Well, I mean, I think he definitely hit a couple of very key points, and I'm not, listen, it's going to ultimately be up to the fans to vote yes or no on Kurt Bavacqua being included in the Padres canon. But like you said, 1984, huge hero moment, the brawl, big moment, hating Tommy Lasorda and the Dodgers. That's always important to be included. Had a great mustache. That's a big deal. And he lasted, he stayed in the city, which, I think a lot of San Diego Padres, once they retire, they would they would rather stay in the city than go anywhere else. I mean, you look at the long list of ex-Padres that just don't go anywhere. Your Phil Nevins, your Tony Gwynn Jr. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But that is a big moment. And you're right. He is kind of a local celebrity and has boosted that local celebrity by creating kind of this weird character that no one knows if it's real or not on Padres Twitter.
You know, one other thing, have you listened to him recently? Like when he calls into the radio or anything? I mean, he used to call into like Scott and BR when they were still on the radio, mm-hmm. and were relevant. And the best thing about Bivak was his long, long, awkward silences where nobody knows if they're supposed to talk. And to me, I never knew if it was a bit or if it's just that he's awkward and slow. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I loved it because Kaplan never knew what to do. And it delighted me to no end. So there's that also. I don't know if that's extra credit or if that should really be in play, but it's something I enjoyed.
So you're saying that he deserves a little bit of an extra push because he made Kaplan feel uncomfortable.
Very much so. Yes.
Yeah, I don't see a disagreement for that from anybody.
I'd say that's quintessentially San Diegan, to be honest.
His last appearance was October 6th, 1985 for the San Diego Padres. He's currently 74, so it makes a ton of sense that he thinks the election was stolen. And his career, I know people don't care about career numbers, but his career batting average was .236, if I'm saying he hitting there, .236, hit 27 home runs in his entire career, and 275 runs batted in. And as you previously mentioned, depending on what website you're on, for a career, had a negative at best 2.5, I think you said, and at worst 3.9 WAR.
Generally considered to be one of the worst 100 players in history. So that's pretty much a consensus from the research I've done.
But a hero in the history of San Diego Padres. So when it comes to the vote, do we include Kurt Bevacqua in the Padres canon? Dirty Kurt! H.J. Preller, are you saying yes?
I'm saying yes, and I would say voting no could only be construed as Dodger loving.
Okay, well, I mean, now that you put it that way, I'm going to have to say yes, too. I'm going to have to also agree with you. It's a yes from both of us. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we put it to you. We put it to the Padres Twitter. We will put this up on the Kept Faith Twitter. It's the only place you can vote. Your vote matters. You will be the ultimate decider. You got two yeses from us, but ultimately, we're not going to be the factor in this. Does Kurt Bevacqua, Dirty Kurt, belong in the history of the San Diego Padres in the canon? Go to the Kept Faith at the Kept Faith on Twitter. Vote yes or no, and we will announce the results next week. We will announce if the mustache gets into the canon. Thanks for listening. Thank you, H.J. Preller. Go follow H.J. at H.J. Preller. And are you ever going to do another podcast with Marver, or is that not going to happen?
It's out of my control. Maybe. We'll see. Might do it with Chad Hamner. So
you've been getting a lot more. I don't know why I started the sentence that way. You've been doing a lot more podcasts with Chad lately, correct?
Yeah, Chad and Corey Stewart. Yeah. I mean, if we're betting, I'm guessing it'll be more with them. But Marver is, of course, welcome.
Welcome on the podcast that he helped start. That's
yeah,
always the
of
next.
Course. Yeah, as the founder and owner who also pays for our domain name. So yeah,
that's the way I feel about Travis. So it's all right. All right. Well, thank you so much. Follow their podcast, Gwintelligence, and the Kept Faith, and we'll see you. We'll see you at the movies. I don't know how to end this. That's not good. Look out, San Diego.